Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with the Joseph Common Sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong right now. And hey, you are halfway through your week, but it isn't just any week, because this week, it's not a full slate, but we have some college football coming starting this weekend. Hey kids, football season is here, and it doesn't get any better than that. Hey, in fact, we have a jam-packed show today. Before we do jump in, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, checking out the new articles that we have over there. You can always get links to the podcast, links to the video, and links to the Daily Dose gear. If you need some Daily Dose gear to wear, maybe to a college or NFL game, that's where you're going to go to get it. Make sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com. Hey, today on the show, we have something extra special for you. And I'm telling you right now, we've got a big, big version of the Daily Dose Sports podcast this week, because we are going to be joined by president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Yes, I am talking about Big Rob, and we are going to be previewing that upcoming college football season. We are going to be looking at the major conferences. We're going to be looking at some teams just outside those conferences and who is going to be winning the Heisman and who is going to be winning the college football playoff. So sit back and relax and enjoy our 2022 college football preview. Joining us right now on Daily Dose, a longtime friend of the show and acting president of that Daily Dose I-Team. He knows how to investigate the big stories. He gets the information that no one else can get. Big Rob is joining us today to preview the 2022 college football season. Rob, we are almost there. Football season is almost back. I absolutely love it. I think we're going to have like a real season, not all the cancellations and all the silly things. We're going to reach out and try to predict what's going to happen, even though it's way, way, way out there. But Rob, I cannot wait for this season to get going.
I'm right there with you. The same. Like I said, it's right around the corner. You know, we've got preseason kicking off already for NFL. A couple weeks. College is going. And so Saturdays and Sundays, all football. Can't wait.
Cannot wait. Rob, I want to welcome you back to the show. Rob's got some serious work ahead because he's got like a lot of things going this month. We're going to make Rob do a lot of heavy lifting over the next few weeks. Rob, in what might be the biggest college football news lately, we are seeing colleges jump all over the place from conference to conference, conferences that probably don't make any sense, but honestly, they want more money. A year ago, we saw Texas and Oklahoma announce they would jump to the SEC. Now this year, Southern California and UCLA announced they are jumping to the Big Ten, which is really weird, but it's just how things are right now. And it is huge, huge money. I mean, that's why they're doing it. Are these good for college football? Like, are these moves a good thing or are they a bad thing for college football?
Oh, man. I think it's going to end up being a good thing. Once all the dust settles, we probably end up with either two or four super conferences to get most of the good talent all together. So I think at the end of the day, you know, once the dust settles, it'll probably be a good thing. But again, I'm going to be sad. And you touched on this last week. Loss of those rivalry games, a lot of those that are going to get lost in the shuffle, I'm afraid. So that's probably the biggest downside for me.
See, that's me too. I get it. I understand the money. And I know we're trending to super conference. But man, there is something special about playing that team that you can't stand. And you kind of lose some of these. And I know. Well, we'll reschedule them. We'll have a 3-year home and home. It's not the same. It really isn't. It's just different. You know, when that team was on your schedule every year, you're like, oh, I can't wait to hate them that week. And we're losing that. Here's a question that I have for you. And I know I'm asking you to look into the crystal ball and probably look out quite a ways. Who's jumping next? What are we going to see next? Do you have any idea?
I think the next thing is, I think we're going to end up with four conferences, if not two. I think we move to four, and it's probably the Pac-12 that ends up getting dissolved and, you know, moved into the four. And I don't know if we rename them or realign them, but I think that's the next thing. We're going to, you know, a whole conference is going to get wiped out, probably the Pac-12. And we just kind of now have to fit everybody probably in the four, I would say.
Do they kind of absorb into the Big 12? Is that the best way to do this? Maybe you bring in, you know, a couple of schools, maybe bring in San Diego State, maybe you bring in, you know, a couple of bigger TV audiences and then kind of mix in with the Big 12. What do they do?
Yeah, I guess though they could try that way, or like I said, just ideally, which I know this would never happen, but just like a full, just redo all the conferences, make it more reasonable. So you kind of get a north, south, east, west. I think that would kind of be the best way to do it. If we could, you know, if there is truly four conferences, we fit everything, we go geographical. And then now, since we have one conference, you know, we work our championship, you know, that way. But, you know, just for travel time, which I know, you know, they really don't care about the kids. But when you think about, you know, someone going across country, you know, with the Big Ten move, you know, going from California all the way across the country. So if we're really going to redo it, we do it, you know, north, south, east, west, and split it up that way.
Rob, you bring up a great point, because this is all about the kids, right? We know this is all about the kids. We're just trying to help the kids.
Of course.
Hey, football, maybe it's not a huge thing. USC and UCLA in basketball. Hey, on a Tuesday night, you've got to fly out to Wisconsin. I don't know if that's best for the kids, but we'll go ahead and tell ourselves that, because this is all silly. Anyways, Rob, what does Notre Dame do? Because I know that there is a feeling they have always said, hey, we are independent. We're staying independent. I honestly feel like they're going to get left behind if they want to stay independent.
Yeah, I think that's run its course. Like I said, with the way everything's getting restructured and some of these TV deals, I think it'll almost make sense for them to slide into a conference. Because like I said, money-wise, you know, we know that's the driver. And in the past, they really haven't to. But like I said, with everything tightened up, you know, it probably would be best for them now to go ahead and try and slide into one the next couple of years.
Do you see, do you see them sliding into the ACC, which they have been a member of before? Or do they just go, hey, we're going to go big money. We're going to go Big Ten. And the ACC may end up getting absorbed into the Big Ten and the SEC eventually. Anyways, how do you see that going? Or are we just kind of guessing?
I mean, if I was them, I'd try to get to the Big Ten. At the end of the day, if there's someone that's going to be standing, it's probably SEC and Big Ten. So again, if we had to squeeze it all the way down to two, or just conference that has the staying power, you know, Big Ten, SEC first, Big Ten second. And then probably ACC then. But again, if after the Pac-12 goes, if another one slides, you know, that's probably going to be the next one. So, I mean, if you had a chance to get in with the Big Ten, you know, you might want to go ahead and take it now. It's probably the safer option.
I would agree with that. I think that's probably where the safe money is. Rob, we're seeing some big contracts being handed out for name, image, and likeness. But here's what I'm wondering. You know, how many situations are we going to have out there, like Auburn quarterback TJ Finley, who became the first college football player to sign an NIL deal with Amazon, and then 2 days later he got arrested for like something stupid. He didn't pull over or something because he knew he had unpaid parking tickets. But if you sign these deals and you sign these contracts, and then you do something dumb because you're an 18 and 19 year old kid, and people kind of forget we're handing these big contracts to these 18 and 19 year old kids. What do you have to do? You got to pay your money back? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to get tricky. Like I said, it all depends on that contract, because I know that was an example where he got arrested. But if you think of Spencer Rattler, fine,
good,
didn't
good
get arrested,
example.
But just Caleb Williams was better. Now he's on the bench. So no fault of his own. But again, you know, how do you feel if you're, I think it was Raising Cane's, and you sell out all that money? So it gets tricky, but I guess it just comes down to the contract, basically. And I think you mentioned this too, as well, on a previous show. I hope someone is looking at these contracts, reading them over, you know, to make sure there are no, you know, hidden strings attached, or if something doesn't go as planned. Cause again, it's, you know, 17, 18 year old kids, and just with anything, future, even NBA contracts, you never know how somebody's going to turn out, you know, 2-3 years. So again, hopefully the contracts, someone's reading those contracts and they're being fair with the rules in there or the details.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Because these kids and these families, they need to be protected. Don't have them sign these horrible deals that are going to have them upside down, or they're going to lose everything. Oh, you did this, so it doesn't count. We're not going to give you the money. I don't know. That really worries me. And at what point do some of these boosters, some of these investors begin to go, okay, this might not be what we thought it was. Like, we thought giving a kid a Raising Cane's, you know, deal worth a bunch of money was a great idea. Then we saw him on the bench. Unless we're going to film a commercial of him sitting on the bench eating chicken, it might not have been the best deal. So maybe we kind of let's wait, you know, a little bit. Let's go get the sure things. But they might start to pull some of these deals back, don't you think?
I think so. And it just because it is so new, I think some of that will correct itself. You know, like you said, once you've spent that money and, you know, you get burnt once or twice. I mean, you know, I know these people have a lot of money and these boosters have a lot of money, but, you know, you don't have that much to just give it away. So I think this is brand new and everyone's just trying to outspend everybody else. But some point, I think the market kind of levels and, okay, this is really all this is really worth or all we're, you know, willing to give out.
Well, and, you know, a few months back, we had Daniel Hennis on, and he's in that NIL business. And one of the things he brought up that I thought was really interesting, he talked about a booster could go out, donate money to the school, get a tax write-off. These boosters that are just giving these contracts to these kids, that's not a tax write-off. That's just you're giving this money and hoping that it comes back to you, but it might not. We may start to see like this was really big to start. It really exploded. And then a lot of people went, wait a second. This is not the same. This might not be what we signed up for. Rob, you brought up the Big Ten a little bit earlier. The Big Ten finalized their new media rights deal. And there are a couple of big takeaways from this deal. One, this is big money. CBS paid $350 million to put the Big Ten on TV. By comparison, they only paid $55 million for the SEC rights, which I know was years back. So I understand that was, you know, a long time ago, but they got a bargain there. Two, ESPN is out. They don't get anything right now. I'm really starting to think ESPN might be in some serious trouble. They've gotten more into politics, less than sports. And all it does is split your viewership. People will turn it off. Here's how it's going to affect the average fan, though. You're going to have a noon game on Fox. You're going to have a 3:30 game. These are all Eastern time. A 3:30 game on CBS and then a primetime game on NBC. And then they're saying Big Ten games would also air on like FS1, Big Ten Network, maybe Peacock or a streaming service, something like that. And they're saying they could have like streaming packages on Amazon or on Apple. So this could be heading like the streaming direction. This just seems so crazy from what we grew up on where everybody kind of had a piece of it. What in the world is going on? This is just insane, isn't it?
It is. And like you said, especially the ESPN part, I mean, I think that worries me the most just because a couple years ago, I felt like they leveraged a lot, lost some of their talent that they had, you know, their on-air personalities, leveraged so much into having, you know, live games and the sports. And like I said, when you're starting to lose that and now you have Amazon and other people into that bidding war, you know, you start to lose that. So, like I said, it used to be ESPN. You know, when you think sports, you always think ESPN. But even like with these other networks, if they're spending that much for the streaming, they've got their own highlight show, their own pregame shows, their own. So it's just you're taking them more and more away from ESPN and what it used to be. So they could be in a lot of trouble.
You bring up a good point because we've always kind of clicked over to ESPN. Hey, let's see the highlights. That may stop too. Mm-hmm. ESPN is getting themselves in some real trouble. And I honestly, I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. I just think it's a bad business to go down that path because somebody's going to be mad at you if you go down that path. It just seems like they've gotten into a weird, I don't know, this weird headspace. And I don't know who's running things over there, but it just seems like they're weird. Rob, we're all these changes, conference realignment, NIL stuff could be going to like more of a streaming kind of package. I don't want to say pay-per-view because it's not exactly pay-per-view, but it's kind of that similar thing. College football isn't in danger, right? I know that in the last few years, you and I do this college football preview every year. We talk college football and you and I love college football. We're not going to see this go like the way of like boxing, right? We're not going to see where we have like, okay, watch one game a year. And other than that, we don't really care because we already know it's going to be Bama. It's going to be Georgia. It's going to be, you know, Oklahoma or whatever. I'm getting a little bit worried. My hope is that we're going to get a more level playing field. I'm worried whether or not that's going to happen though.
Yeah. I think we're okay to answer your first question. I don't think that's the sport's endangered, you know, in danger itself. I think there's still going to be football, you know, college football, a full game of Saturday games, just how it looks could be a little different. The thing that worries me the most, though, is with the streaming service. I don't want it to get to be the chance where I've got to buy this to watch Big Ten or West Virginia. I've got to buy this package to buy this. Or when you think of kind of how it is now with like TV shows, like this show's on Paramount. This show's on Hulu. This show's on, you know, I don't want to have to subscribe to a bunch of different services to watch the game. So that's the only thing that worries me, is in this realignment and this money grab, that they don't go too far. And, you know, because you could lose some of your people, you know, because, you know, I enjoy watching this, or, you know, I'll watch Pac-12 late at night because that's the only thing on. Would I pay to watch Pac-12? Absolutely not. So I'm worried about that aspect of it.
Excellent point. Yeah, you're right. I sit there and I know that you and I kind of do the same thing. We'll tune in and hit that Big Ten game at like 10 a.m. here in Colorado. And then the 1:30 game, we're watching SEC. And then the 5 o'clock game, you're watching just kind of the best of, or maybe the national game. And then, like you said, the Pac-12 game that night, probably awful, but I'll tune in and watch Arizona and Washington at like 9 o'clock. I'm wasting 16 hours, but don't take that away from me. Don't take that away from me. I want that. I want that 16 hours. Don't lose that by turning this all into streaming nonsense that I can't watch at all, because I love wasting my Saturdays that way. That's exactly where I am too. I'm really hoping they don't take that from us. Rob, jumping into the season, we have seen a number of coaching changes, as we usually do, but it seemed like this last year, we saw more high profile coaching changes than usual. I'm going to run through some of the bigger name programs that got a new head coach. I want you to kind of give me, if any stand out to you, good or bad. Maybe you look at one and say that could be a really good fit, and that might not be a good fit. First off, we have Florida. Out is Dan Mullen. He goes down in Florida. In comes Billy Napier, who was coaching down at Louisiana Lafayette, scored some points, but did it in a much different fashion than what Florida people are used to. At LSU, out is Ed Orgeron. I'm going to miss Ed Orgeron, I won't lie. In comes Brian Kelly from Notre Dame. He said he wants to be able to recruit more and more. He's going to go down to LSU. He's already got the accent. Miami, out is Manny Diaz. In is Mario Cristobal, who comes from Oregon, but he is a Miami guy. At Notre Dame, with Brian Kelly leaving to LSU, a young guy takes over in Marcus Freeman. I think he's only like 35 years old. He was their defensive coordinator. We'll see how he does. Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley leaves. In comes Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator at Clemson. Already starting a little shaky there, but we'll see how that goes. Because at Oregon, Mario Cristobal left, they bring in Georgia defensive coordinator Dan Lanning. Down at TCU, fat sweaty Gary Patterson is out. Sonny Dykes comes over from SMU and will take over there. And then at USC, they finally had enough of all of the stupid personal fouls with Clay Helton. They fire him, and in comes Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. He's won games. He's produced Heisman winners. Rob, of all those moves, and I know I gave you a number of those, are big programs though. What move do you like the most? What feels like a good fit to you?
To me, I would say the Lincoln Riley.
Just because, at USC? Yeah,
going to USC. Just because big name program. It's a historic program. It's obviously, you know, been down quite a while now. So just to name it all, the offense that he's going to bring, you know, even this season, you know, Caleb Williams is there. They've done great work in the transfer portal. He's always been a good recruiter. So to me, that's the best one for a program that needs a big name, exciting offense. You know, there's going to be hype there for at least a couple years, whether it works out or not, you know, time will tell. But I think that program, I think, did the best job on, you know, in the hire itself.
I would agree with you. I think getting a splashy name, getting that Southern California group, who we know, I hate to point this out, a little bit of a bandwagon group, they're going to jump on that bandwagon because they know, hey, Lincoln Riley's going to bring it. He's going to win. He's going to bring in big time recruits. I agree with you. I think that was a really big win. And let's be real clear, getting rid of Clay Helton seemed like a very nice man, seemed like a really, really bad fit at head coach. So I think that's a good move as well. If you had to pick one that you don't like, what's the move that you kind of go, I'm not sure about that one?
That's going to be Brian Kelly for me. Brian Kelly to LSU. I think just at a baseline is a good coach. I think we could say that. But if you look at his time at Notre Dame, against the top 25, he was 14-14. So it seems like a good coach, but, you know, not sure. He leaves for he's at LSU now. So talent wise, I think he'll be able to recruit better. Got more talent there. So maybe that helps you from where you left Notre Dame. But that's the one I'm worried about. Doesn't seem like he fits. Just the personality, the vibe down there in SEC. I know he tried and changed his accent, but It just doesn't seem like he doesn't seem like he fits. Like I said, I think he is a good coach, like a solid coach, but that one worries me. I don't know where I end up on that.
I don't either. And you know the weird thing, because you brought up his record against, you know, top 25 teams. Bad news, you're going to play a lot of top 25 teams down in that SEC, especially on that side of the conference. You're playing top 25 teams almost every single week. That might not be good. The one that stands out to me, and I'm not going to say it's bad, but it could kind of throw some people off. Down at Florida, Dan Mullen is out. I believe Dan Mullen lost his locker room, and I believe he lost the fan base a couple different ways, a couple different things he said, a couple different things he did, wasn't getting big-time recruits. I really like Billy Napier coming in. Here's going to be the struggle for Florida fans and for the Swamp in general. Billy Napier knows how to score points. He was averaging 35 points a game at Louisiana Lafayette. So cool. That's what Gator fans want. They love that Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer. You're going to go out there and light up the scoreboard. Here's the problem. Billy Napier kind of does it with some smash mouth football. Florida fans are going to be like, wait a minute. We want a fun and gun here. What are you doing? And so it might throw some people off, even though I think he'll be very, very good. I think it's going to take an adjustment in Gainesville to get used to a different mentality. We're going to run the ball and try to smash you in the face. I don't know if they're going to be able to adjust to that. They're going to be going, where's our, you know, triple reverse option passes? Like, that's what we want. We want to bring back the fun and gun. So I think that's going to be a kind of an odd one, at least to me.
Yeah, I would agree. And if that fan base is patient enough, like you said, to wait, because it's going to be a completely change of styles. You know, he's got to get his recruits in to play his style. So that's, yeah. So I'm worried about that one. And one more I'm worried about, too, that I have to mention. Mario Cristobal, Miami. And the reason being is there's no more turnover chain. He said when he got there, Rob, turnover chain's gone. And so that's, I mean, he lost me right there.
I don't want to say I'm mad, but I'm really disappointed. Because you and I love the turnover chain. I love it. It's so stupid that I loved everything about it. And when he said he was taking that away, I'll be honest, it kind of scared me because it made me think Miami might be on the right track with some, because he's like, okay, this is dumb. We're getting, no, I love that you're dumb. I love Miami being stupid every year. That was, that brought me joy. And that bothers me.
Right there with you. I think the quote was, it's not part of the culture. And I said, no, it's absolutely part of the
culture. 1,000%. It is the entire culture. That is more the culture than anything else in Miami. They are down 63-3 and some kid fumbles the snap and they recover it and he runs over and puts the turnover chain on. Is there anything more Miami than that? That sums up Miami perfectly. And it bothers me that he's breaking that. Yeah, and if I'm him... yes, if I'm him, I'm doing it too. But that kind of melted my brain a little bit. That really made me sad. I'll tell you one that I'm worried about. And I think he's a good coach, but I am worried about Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame because expectations there are so completely unrealistic and so insane that unless he goes out and goes to the college football playoff, everyone goes, oh yeah, he's not very good. And I'm like, dude, he's a young kid. He's going to need a patient fan base to let him grow on the job. It might only be one seat to move over. It's a big, big move. He's going to have to grow up a little bit on the job. And the only way you can do it is just doing it. Be patient with him. Do not come out and act like, well, you better win 3 titles these first 3 years because you're going to be disappointed. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And the one thing that may save him or give him some extra time, though, it seems like the players love him. I mean, everybody, all the players, yeah, talk about him. So it might give him a little bit more time. But yeah, like you said, that's a fan base that won't want to wait long.
Rob, speaking of not wanting to wait long, every single season, we have coaches that start the year on the hot seat. It isn't nice. Sometimes it's not even fair. The games haven't even started and people are already like, okay, when can we fire this guy? Like, we've got to get rid of him. He's an idiot. They're literally just waiting for an excuse to get rid of this guy. I've got a couple guys that I think are on the hot seat. Some of them probably don't even deserve the hot seat, but that's where they are. Scott Frost has really struggled to win close games at Nebraska. He just has. That might not be fair because he's been in the games. They're close. So maybe he just needs to get the right group and they'll put it over the top. Or maybe he just loses close games. That's just who he is. I don't know. But if he loses a few close ones, especially that one in Northwestern in Ireland, look out, because they're going to be screaming to fire that dude. Do you have anybody starting the season on the hot seat?
Yeah, Scott Frost was one of mine. Also, just to double up on that, too. And don't forget about the NCAA investigation that he had when they were maybe cheating and not. They still went 3-9.
You're right.
They were close games, but, I mean, he fired all his assistants. I think they restructured his contract. So, what's next? Like, I don't even know, like, what else is there to do if he can't turn it around this season? Another one I had, give me Brian Herson, Auburn. There were already questions just kind of about how he was coaching and not. I think if there wasn't a if they didn't have a buyout, I think his buyout was $18 million.
Yeah.
If they don't want to pay the $18 million, I think he actually gets fired last season. But yeah, if he goes 6-7 again, I think he's gone.
He'll have no chance. And he's gonna have a tough time to not go 6-7.
Exactly.
That's gonna be a really tough schedule. I'm gonna put one out there. I shouldn't even put it out there, but you and I talk about it every year. Those Hook'em Horns fans are crazy. Steve Sarkisian, you better come out and win games this year, because they don't care. You've only been there 1 year. They'll fire you as quick as possible if you go out there and you get smoked in a few games. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that close. But because of the insane expectations down in Austin, Sarkisian needs to come out and win some games, or he will be in trouble.
Yeah, that's another one. I agree with that one, too. And I think they have Alabama week 2 or 3.
Yes.
So it just, I mean, you don't even have a lot of time. I mean, the seat is hot already. And,
right.
You know, they get blown out that game. It's just going to be a nightmare. Two more that I got. Another one I'll give you, a guy I actually like, Herm Edwards, Arizona State.
Oh.
This is another one. But again, we have a NCAA investigation going on. His record while he's been there, 25-18. So, you know, decent. But, you know, because of that investigation, they lost a lot of people to the transfer window. So I could just see this being a really bad season. And just, I don't know if he gets fired, or maybe he just calls it and, you know, goes back to ESPN midway through the season. But that one, I think that's a hot seat, too.
Rob, I think that is the hottest seat. I have heard from a number of different people that the Arizona State situation is so much worse than any of us know, that if everyone knew what was going on down there, he would have already been fired like 2 years ago. They say it is so, so, so bad. I'm just waiting for the book to come out about it, because you know it's coming. But they say it is a dumpster fire down in Tempe right now. You know, this sounds kind of crazy, but I have heard that David Shaw at Stanford needs to have a good year. And that's insane to me because of what he has done there. But he hasn't won lately. Having said that, I think Stanford's going to actually have a kind of a sneaky good year this year. So I think he'll be okay. But the last 2-3 years, they've been pretty bad. So I guess maybe you could find. My problem is, well, who are you going to get that's better than him? Because he's obviously, he knows how to win there a little bit. So I guess that would be my last one. Who's your last hot seat coach that we have?
Last one, Mike Norvell, Florida State.
Yeah.
So 8-13 after the past two seasons. I think he's done a good job considering how Taggart left it. QB Travis Jordan is there this year, but this feels like a make or break season. Again, this is another impatient fan base. And again, looking at what he took over, he's been fine. But this year three, if it doesn't get turned around this year, I think he could be in trouble.
Absolutely agree with you. He has to step up and have a big year. They have a chance to have a big year. Just going to be a matter of what he does with it. Speaking of Florida State, Rob, let's jump into our conference previews. And let's start in that Atlantic Coast Conference, which had been so top-heavy for years. Clemson, Miami, Florida State every year. But Miami and Florida State have kind of struggled. Then last year, we saw perennial favorite Clemson take a big step back. Somehow, the Pitt Panthers beat Wake Forest for the conference title game. What in the world is happening in the ACC? Is it basketball? Rob, who are your contenders for the ACC? Give me a contender. We'll get to our champ, but who's the contender? Who's the team you like in the ACC?
I came up with four contenders, and that kind of speaks more to the conference itself than the individual teams.
Yeah.
But the first one I'll give you is the one you mentioned, Pitt. I mean, they did win it last year. The most intriguing thing, they get Slovis transfer in from USC quarterback. They did lose a little bit to the draft, but in a conference that's down, you got the confidence returning players. QB, you know, a good QB, I feel like. I think they'll be around. I don't think they'll repeat, but I think they're going to hang in there.
I do too. And I like Pat Narduzzi. I think he does a really good job out there. I think he gets his kids to play tough physical ball. And I think that is always going to be a point in your favor. I like that pick of Pitt. Rob, I'm going to make one, and it's going to be a really dumb pick. I don't think they're going to win it, but I think Louisville is going to be better than people think they are. The problem for the Cardinals is they play four of their first six games on the road, but quarterback Malik Cunningham, he's back for a senior year. He just might surprise people. I could see him early on if he starts strong. He might even get a little bit of Heisman talk, because if he can stay healthy, which will be the key, then I think Louisville could surprise some people. I don't know that they can win it, but I think they'll be tougher than people might expect. Who would be your next contender in that ACC?
Another one I got, I'll give you Wake Forest.
Yep.
This is a huge question mark because Sam Hartman, I know there's some kind of a medical condition. He's out indefinitely, but I've heard he might come back at some point this season. Yeah. So that kind of what puts this all in the air for me. Assuming he is there or he does come back, that offense, you know, that's a great offense. And again, in a league that's down, that's a team that has potential, you know, that could score with anybody. But like I said, I think this whole thing is contingent on what exactly is wrong with Sam Hartman.
Rob, I'm going to have to ask. They won't release what is wrong with Sam Hartman. We're just going to say a hemorrhoid, right? Like, what is it? It's like an undescended testicle. There's something they don't want to admit to that he has. I get it. I don't want to embarrass the lad, but they won't tell us. Rob, Sam Hartman's really, really good. He runs that RPO kind of offense. He really understands how to make that read. We just don't know how long he's going to be out for. And they were putting out 31 points a game last year. A.T. Perry, wide receiver, is a stud. I really like him, but it's a different team with or without Hartman. I don't think you can plug in a different guy and be as good, but maybe they have enough surrounding cast that they can at least compete and still hold off. You got to get him back. I don't know what's wrong with him. And that's a little disturbing to me. Anyways, Rob, I'm going to throw out another contender. And this is a team that we already talked about. I'm not mad at you, but I am disappointed because there's no more turnover chain. Mario Cristobal says it's nonsense. That makes me sad because, of course, it was nonsense, but it was hilarious. I'm not sure that Miami has the players yet, but the fact that he's calling out stupidity makes me think that, disappointingly, they're on the right track. So I'm going to say Miami is starting to figure some things out, even though it makes me sad inside.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I agree with that one too. I had them down. Tyler Van Dyke at QB.
Yep.
He can play. And then again, Miami, I mean, they have talent. They've always had talent. He is a good coach. So yeah, you've got to think that they would be in the mix. And then along with them, my last contender that I had is NC State.
Yep.
Returns QB, Devin Leary's back. Almost their entire defense is back. And in a conference, I think the defense kind of gives them the edge there. They're bringing back that entire defense. I think they can score enough to compete. So I have them right in the mix this year.
I do too. And I really like what they're doing. I like the fact that they have some defense. You know what's weird? And this is something kind of new to us. North Carolina State has bizarrely kind of created a weird COVID team, because these are kids coming back because they couldn't, you know, jump because of all the COVID stuff. They've got like some 6-year seniors on this team. Tons of experience. NC State's going to be really, really interesting to watch because they've kept all these kids. I don't know. They might be kind of sneaky good. The Wolfpack is going to be a legit contender to win this conference. But if you've got them as a contender, as do I, then who do we have winning this conference?
Clemson.
Yep. Gonna have to be, doesn't it?
It does. I don't feel good about it, though.
I don't either.
This one, yeah, I don't feel good about it. They lost both of their coordinators to Oklahoma and Virginia. I mean, last year they were 10-3. I mean, so that is a good season. So they're not terrible.
Right.
I think the defense would be better. They had a lot of injuries on defense last year. But the QB, that's what's going to be interesting. Because if DJ struggles, I think they got a rookie, Cade Klubnik, I want to say.
Yep.
It's supposed to be the real deal. Dabo definitely, you know, pull the trigger to get him in, but you know, how long does he wait? And you know, so that's kind of a thing. So the offense worries me a little bit, and just all, like I said, losing both your coordinators, even though, you know, you brought in some people internally, so it should be still cohesive, but I don't feel good about it.
I don't either. I'm right there with you. I chose Clemson, and I chose them because of their defense, because their defense is still really, really good. DJ Uiagalelei was so average last year. And I can't even say average because he was below average last year. He's got to figure some things out. Didn't always want to pull the trigger. didn't always want to throw it downfield. And that's where Klubnik could come in and get fans on his side, because he will fire it down the field. He did it in the spring game. And I know people were kind of falling in love with him. Like you said, Dabo will not hesitate to pull the trigger on somebody. I'm going to take Clemson. I'm not going to feel great about it. Rob, we move next to a conference that is near and dear to your heart, and that is the Big 12, where the Baylor Bears just barely slipped past Oklahoma State last year to win the conference championship. Where was the big dog favorite, Oklahoma, you might ask? Well, they lost to both Baylor and to Oklahoma State. Can the Sooners bounce back? Talked about before, they lost Lincoln Riley to USC. Can Baylor or Oklahoma State do it again? Or is someone new going to be in the mix? Rob, who is your first contender for that Big 12 this year?
Yeah, this is another one. I got four contenders here again, but this is another conference that I think is going to be all jumbled, you know, real tight going into those in. And the first one I'll say, I'm going to say Baylor, the team you mentioned. Again, they won it last year. I think it's a good coaching staff, yep. Exciting QB. They did lose a little bit, but I don't think they'll completely drop off. So I don't think they'll win it all again, but I see them still being in the mix.
Baylor is going to be really interesting to watch. And I really like what head coach Dave Aranda has done. He's recruited. He's gotten their offensive line and defensive line out there. I think when you go fortify those positions, that puts you in good shape. Here's my concern. They go to BYU. They go to West Virginia. They go to Oklahoma and they finish at Texas. There are four spots to trip up very, very easily if you take care of all your business at home. But then again, like you said, maybe the winner of this conference has two losses or three losses. I don't know. Yeah, Baylor's going to be very, very interesting. Rob, I'm going to spring something on you. I've got Baylor as my champ. Going to throw out my first contender. And I always feel like when you had a winning season last year, you return your head coach, you return your starting quarterback, you're going to be at least in the hunt. Well, Kansas State went 8-4 last year. Head coach Chris Klieman is back. He wants more. But the Wildcats did lose quarterback Skylar Thompson. They bring in Nebraska transfer Adrian Martinez. Maybe all he learned at Nebraska was how to lose close games. I don't know. But I know that Klieman always found ways to win at North Dakota State. I think Kansas State's going to be a pain in the butt. I just think they're going to be one of those teams you don't want to see them on your schedule. You know you're going to be in a dogfight. I think they're a contender. I don't think they're good enough to win it all, though.
Yeah, I agree. That was my number one contender, actually, right under who I have my champion.
Okay.
Like you said, and running back Deuce Vaughn, too, is back.
Yes.
And then Chris Klieman, good coach. Bill Snyder left in 2020. Since then, they've had back-to-back 8-win seasons. So I think that's a good program. And, yeah, I think that's a good call. I think I got them right there. My next one, I feel like we have to say it. I don't believe it at all. Texas.
Wow, you're going to go Texas as a contender. I like it.
On paper. I mean, on paper, they're good. They did good work in the transfer portal. They'll probably get blown out to Bama. But after that, I think down the road, they'll do enough that, you know, they'll be around. There's no way that they win it. They will fall apart or lose, like, a couple of terrible games that they shouldn't. But I think they're going to be in the mix. There is a lot of talent there.
I like that pick, and I totally understand it. They have so much talent. How can you not be in the mix? You have to be. I mean, just go win the games you should, and you'll probably be fine. I'm going to throw out a contender. Rob, I'm going to throw out the Oklahoma Sooners. I'm going to struggle with this, but I think Oklahoma may take a few lumps under new head coach Brent Venables in his first season. I'm not going to say they fall off a cliff. I don't think it's anything like that. Their defense has to improve under Venables, doesn't it? But this is a team that has had a lot of change. They lose their quarterback. They are losing coordinators. They're losing their coach. They're going to have a number of changes that kids have to deal with. And you lost some serious talent. That deck has been reshuffled. I think it just takes them a little while to kind of get on stable footing. And then I think they'll eventually be fine. But I think they could lose a couple games that might surprise us otherwise, because you're like, no, Oklahoma's going to roll through everybody. I think they could, you know, trip up to a Kansas State. They could trip up to a Baylor that we are kind of not used to because they just have been rolling. But there's going to be a little bit of shakiness for a little while until Venables figures this out. Plus, we have the issue with the offensive coordinator, the whole thing with Gundy. That concerns me a little bit. So I have Oklahoma as just a contender right now.
Oklahoma, that was actually my pick to win.
You've got them
conference.
To win it?
Okay. I do. Like I said, all the things you mentioned, I have all those same questions. They did lose. Lincoln's gone. Took Caleb with him, their top receiver. But they didn't lose a whole lot outside of that transfer wise. Like the program, everyone didn't, you know, run for the hills. Like I said, the defense has to be better just because of the coach. And then they've got Dylan Gabriel at QB. UCF really like before him. He got hurt. Yeah. So in a conference, if you think the defense is better, you maybe brought in a quarterback, you know, not the likes of, you know, Caleb, but still maybe enough, you know, after the injury has enough to sling it around. So that was my pick for the winner. And then my last contender was good old West Virginia.
All right. You're going to go with those Mountaineers.
I am. Five starters back on the offensive line. They've got JT Daniels transferring at QB. So, and the thought is, you know, he's not playing the SEC defenses now. So maybe we can get a little bit more consistency. If he can stay healthy, I like their defense. They've been all right the past couple years. And again, in a conference that's kind of shaky, I think they might, you know, surprise a couple people.
I like that pick. I think West Virginia could be a team that surprises people. And again, anytime you go there, you know, you've got the aroma of couch burning in the background. You better bring your A game because you know that it is going to be a tough, tough visit. I'm going to throw out one at a contender. Obviously, we differed on our champ pick, but I'll throw out Oklahoma State. I like quarterback Spencer Sanders a lot. We know that crazy coach Mike Gundy will have him firing the ball all over the place. I just think that the Cowboys defense is going to be a major liability. They lost so many people. But then again, Gundy always seems to revel when no one expects anything from him. So maybe the Cowboys will do that again. Rob takes Oklahoma to win it. I am taking Baylor to win it. By the way, brief side note. Rob and I don't go over our picks prior to the show. We hit record. We start recording. We have no idea. So sometimes these things happen. Doesn't happen very often, bizarrely. We usually have every single pick the same. We don't plan that. It just works out that way. Rob, we move next to the Big Ten, where the Michigan Wolverines finally figured things out a year ago. They beat the Ohio State Buckeyes for the first time since, like, Bill Clinton was in office. I don't know. Was it a one-year fluke? Can Michigan do it again? Rob, I'm telling you, this Big Ten is absolutely stacked. I kept going through and going, well, they're a contender, and they could be a contender, and they could be a contender. I don't even know where to begin. Rob, who are your contenders in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I narrowed it down to three contenders for you, and then I got a winner.
You're way better than me. You're way better than me.
And again, I'll go with the first one you mentioned. Michigan, there is a drop-off coming for sure. QB is a question mark. They lost coordinators, a lot on defense. I think they have their schedule is pretty soft, so that'll keep them in the mix. But history tells us, you know, last year's Jim Harbaugh and that team, that's the outlier. So I expect them to fall down, but I think a soft schedule keeps them kind of in the mix early.
I agree with you. I have them exactly what you said. They get Penn State and Michigan State in Ann Arbor. They do have to go to Iowa. They finish the season, obviously, in Columbus. But the loss of like Aiden Hutchinson, you don't just plug a new guy in. You don't plug in a five-star and get what that kid gave you. Cade McNamara, I'm not sure if he's even going to be the starter. He's kind of trying to battle and see if he can figure that out. I know he's not always the most explosive player. So yeah, I have Michigan as a contender too. Rob, I shouldn't put this team here. I don't think they're good enough to actually win the conference, but I really like what Purdue is doing. Jeff Brohm was on the hot seat a year ago. There was talk. Maybe he was going to get fired. Then they go 9-4. They win their bowl game. And now Brohm has a number of those same kids back. Purdue is going to bring some big offense. I don't think they can win it all, but I like that Purdue went out there and they're like, hey, we're going to put up, you know, 46 points and you're going to score 47. So I'll put Purdue in there as a team that could trip somebody up for sure. I don't know if they could win the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. Purdue, I had them as well for the same reason you mentioned. And it seems like the past couple seasons, they always win a game that they shouldn't. So yes. If it's like Ohio State or Michigan, they're down and, you know, they just pull an upset out of nowhere. So I had them as well. And then my last contender that I had is going to be Wisconsin.
Yep.
Running back Braylon Allen's back. Defense, really like this defense. But the trouble is going to be the passing game is the question for me. If Mertz can get his act together, I think they have a chance. But if without that, you know, running back and the defense, I think they'll be, you know, hanging around in the mix there. But it really comes down to their passing attack.
And I don't know how much to trust Mertz. Like He should figure some things out. But last year didn't look like he did. I have Wisconsin as my top contender as well. I think they are going to be very dangerous anyways. they can run the ball and they're going to have that good defense, they're going to wear some teams out. Can they compete at the top level? Not unless Mertz figures some things out. Rob, I've got a couple of other contenders I'm going to throw out here. I will throw the Minnesota Golden Gophers out there as a contender. I like what PJ Fleck has done. He recruits big, huge offensive and defensive linemen. That is going to be a problem for a lot of teams because, again, they'll wear you out. I have another team that might be a little below the radar because they've underperformed the last few years. I think Penn State could be a little bit sneaky. I know there's people doubting James Franklin. I think Penn State could be back and be back in a big way if, kind of like we talked about Wisconsin, can quarterback Sean Clifford figure things out? Because he's back for, I think, his like 9th or 10th season now. But we haven't seen anything in his 7th or 8th season. So I don't know. He's going to have to figure things out at some point. If they do, if they can either run the ball or Clifford really, you know, bring some game, then I think Penn State could surprise some people. And then it seems like every 4 or 5 years, Kirk Ferentz gets a team at Iowa, a team full of seniors that's really tough and just grinds ugly games out in snow. And it's like 10-3 and they're not very fun to watch, but they win. He's returning 16 starters at Iowa. I think the Hawkeyes are going to be a pain. They're smart. They're experienced. It might be one of those years where Iowa trips some people up and surprises some people. But I'm guessing that we probably both have the same champion for the Big Ten, don't we?
I would think so. And just one quick thing for your points, too. Kind of with this conference, everybody, like all run games, all good defenses this year. So yep. Whoever can get the best quarterback play, I feel like, you know, we'll push the head of the top.
Good point.
And then, like you said, to pick our mention, which is probably the best quarterback in the conference, maybe the nation, Ohio State.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud is going to be a load. And Ryan Day does a phenomenal job of getting his kids ready to go. That team is stacked with 5-star athletes. What I want to watch this year is, can they get more physical up front? We saw them get pushed around last year, and that's kind of weird because we haven't seen that in years. They got pushed around. They got pushed around by Michigan up front last year. If they shore that up, C.J. Stroud is going to be a problem. Ohio State's going to be really good, aren't they?
Yeah. Two notes here. Fun fact I found, 73% of their roster production is back. So in a time with people leaving, transfers and everything, to have that back, that says a lot. And then Jim Knowles, defensive coordinator from OSU, came from the third best defense last year with not being physical in the past years, and their defense has kind of been their problems the past 2 years. So the fact that they've tried to address that, they can tighten that up a little bit. Like I said, I think this is going to help them a lot.
Well, and you know what's crazy? Because we look at Ohio State last year, you got beat by Michigan. You didn't have a great year. They went 11-2 and they won the Rose Bowl. Yeah. They were still really, really good. We just remember because they, you know, lost to Michigan, mm-hmm. which doesn't happen very often. Ohio State is going to be a load. Rob, the Pac-12 told us that it was unsafe to play football because of COVID. It turns out they were right because they aren't playing football much anymore that's meaningful. Ever since COVID, USC and UCLA are bolting for greener pastures. Now the Pac-12 is in this weird tailspin of, you know, do we join up with the Big 12? Do we try to go get new teams to join our conference? Meanwhile, the Pac-12 commissioner is saying things like, I think USC and UCLA are already regretting their decision to make more money, which tells me you're just in complete denial and like you're totally delusional. And yet there are some talented teams in the Pac-12 this year. Is there any way this conference can surprise everyone and make some noise nationally? Probably not, but we'll see. Rob, who do you have contending out of that Pac-12 this year?
I can only come up with two contenders in the Pac-12. And the first one I'll give you has got to be Oregon. I think it's going to be a good defense. Again, they've always have talent, even though Mario left, new coaches there, but I think still enough talent there. You got Bo Nix coming in, which it's in the Pac-12 is what I'm going to say is the spin. Yes. I'm going to put on that. It's still Bo Nix, but it's not Bo Nix in the SEC. It's right. Bo Nix in the Pac-12. So that should help. Offense said they've always got talent there. So I see them being right in the mix.
I like that pick. I have Oregon down as well. Dan Lanning, former Georgia Bulldogs defensive coordinator, said he is going to get the Ducks to play defense. Something I don't know if they've ever done before. So that's going to be, you know, quite a pull if he's able to do that. Bo Nix, you talked about, talented kid, kind of a knucklehead, will make you die 1,000 deaths on one play. He's just kind of that guy. He might sum up Oregon perfectly, to be very, very honest. I'm going to actually mention their in-state rival, the Oregon State Beavers, who went 7-4 a year ago, including wins over both USC and Utah. They returned 13 starters. Like you said, this might be less about Oregon State and more about the rest of the Pac-12, because the North especially is going to be pretty down. I think the Beavers can pick up a few easy wins. Their defense, though, has a chance to be pretty good. Running game was good a year ago. If they can find a way to just score points, Oregon State might be at least better than people might expect. What other contender do you have in the Pac-12?
The only other contender that I had, and I hope this isn't your pick for the winner, USC?
Nope, they were my contender as well.
Okay, good.
Rob, once again, we nailed this thing. USC, I don't know exactly what to think about this year's team. I think they're going to be good. I just don't know about this year.
Same. Like I said, I think, well, first of all, I'll say the offense is going to be great. I think yep. The offense is going to go. They're going to put up points. I think the defense is going to be terrible. Absolutely terrible. And again, you know, it takes time with these new programs, new coaches. I will say for USC, though, they've done great work in the transfer portal. So they filled out a lot of holes immediately. But even still, you've got to still mesh together. So I think they're going to be very entertaining. I think they're going to put up points. I just think that defense is going to be worse than those Oklahoma defenses that he's had. And that could be, their downfall.
I'm right there with you. I look at USC and you know, sometimes a coach will say, hey, we're going to put up 50 points. And if you can score 51, then you can beat us. Here's the bad news for USC. A lot of teams are going to score more than 51. They're going to score like 61 because that defense lost most everyone. Mm-hmm. And like you talked about, Caleb Williams is going to be really good. I think they're going to score fast. And that defense is going to find themselves on the field a lot, which, okay, you're in the Pac-12. But when you face a team like a Stanford, they're going to grind you out and you're going to be in a dogfight and you're going to get tired. So, yeah, I have USC as a contender, not the winner, because I think while they're on the right track, I think they're just going to be so soft defensively. I think it is going to be a track meet when you play them. And if their offense has a bad day, you're going to probably beat them. So I'm assuming, once again, Rob, we're going to agree on our champ, aren't we?
Maybe.
I'm going to make my pick. And that is always the dangerous Utah Utes.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?
Head coach Kyle Whittingham, he returns 13 starters from a team that went 10-4 and lost a shootout to Ohio State in that Rose Bowl. His teams are just always tough. They're smart. They can score serious points. Cameron Rising, their quarterback, he's now like a 27-year senior. He's a pretty good quarterback, and they start the season with a big marquee game. They got to get a win in that game, though, I think.
Yeah, I agree. This is my winner, too. Like I said, QB Cam Rising, you already mentioned. Three of their four top rushers are back, four of their five top receivers. And this was a fun stat that I found. They are one of 21 teams nationally to bring back the head coach, starting QB, and both coordinators. So then again, like kind of like we talked about, with so much, you know, going on, transfers and everything else, you've got a good consistent program, a good coach. Yeah, I see them grinding it out and taking the conference.
You know what, though? I think you picked them last year, and they seem to be in the hunt every single year. We know the Pac-12 has already gotten out of the we're going to separate our conference title game by division winner, which I think is actually a very smart move. I don't think you should have just based on some silly, you know, here's what we're going to call a North and here's what we're going to call a South. It's just arbitrary and silly. I'm glad they got rid of that. But Utah, every year, everyone picks the flashy teams. Everyone takes the UCLA and the USC and the Oregon, and then Utah hits them all in the mouth and wins the conference. And it seems like that's what they do every single year. My concern for Utah is this. They have been notoriously slow starters to the season. They usually win, but sometimes they eke out some games. Their opening game is at the Swamp in Gainesville against Florida. Don't start slow, because that Swamp is going to be rocking, probably bringing noise that you've never heard before. Maybe Austin compares to it, but Utah has got to jump on it early. Rob, once again, we agree on another conference. Pac-12 is going to be interesting to watch this year, and maybe there'll be, you know, a sneaky team come in there and make some noise too. We finish up with the big dog of college football, the always powerful Southeastern Conference, who is soon adding both Texas and Oklahoma. And while everyone hates the SEC, they're the big bully. Once again, they're going to be really, really, really good. Last year, they sent both Alabama and Georgia to the national championship game with the Georgia Bulldogs finally getting that big monkey off their back. They actually win a title for the first time since 1980. But was Georgia just a fluke? Is Alabama ready to get back on top? Who are the teams that are going to be contending this year in the SEC? Rob, how many contenders you got this year in the SEC?
I got four for you.
Okay. What's your first one?
First one I'm going to give you, we mentioned them earlier too, is LSU. I think they're going to start off well. They're going to fall off a cliff. End of the season, they go to Florida. Bama comes to them. They go to Texas A&M. So it's end of the season nightmare. But I think early on, you know, they'll start off good. Like I said, they've got the talent there. It's a good coach. I think they'll be fine early on. There'll be a little buzz about it, you know, before it comes crashing down.
Yeah, I could see that. And I could see Brian Kelly accents getting stronger, just really, really feeling his Southern roots by then. I think he's like an Indiana guy or something, but suddenly he's just talking full Southern. He's sounding like a dude in Sling Blade. And we're just going, really? What has happened down there? And then it all comes crashing down and he's back to talking Northern again. I could totally see that happening. Rob, I'm going to throw out my first contender, and this is going to sound crazy. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm starting to think Arkansas might be good, and they might be good for a while, because head coach Sam Pittman, he's really focusing on toughness, physicality. He's getting guys in the trenches. I don't care what league you play in. If you can punch people in the mouth up front, you're going to get their attention. Oh, and by the way, his quarterback, KJ Jefferson, looks like he ate a few other quarterbacks. He's like 250 pounds. He's a sledgehammer. His passing is just going to get better. I think Arkansas is going to be a team nobody wants to play. They are going to be a pain. I don't know if they win at all. You're not going to want to face them because they are going to smash people up front.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. I didn't have them down, but that makes sense. And the next one I'll give you, which I don't feel good about saying this, is Tennessee.
Yeah, I got them too.
Tennessee, Cuba, Hendon-Hooker's back, got his top receiver back, top rushers back. So this is an offense that I think will be good. They'll be able to put up points. Their schedule's a little softer than usual. I mean, at the end of the day, Tennessee is going to Tennessee, similar to LSU. It's going to crash and burn towards the end of the season. But again, I mean, I really like this offense. I think they'll put up points. I think they're going to be a fun watch, and they'll kind of be around until they, you know, do their normal thing.
Yes. And I'm right there with you. And the one thing about Tennessee that I think they suffer from, they have these insane expectations for a school that's never really done anything. They're always like, well, why aren't we in the playoff? Well, 'cause you're not good at football mostly. But that's kind of their weird expectation back in Tennessee. I don't understand it, but that's how they are. I'm right there with you. I think they're going to be really fun to watch. I think they have brought in some talent. Their boosters have really jumped on the NIL stuff. They brought in some studs. They're going to be good to watch. And Josh Heupel, he's doing a much, much better job than Scott Frost is doing, showing that, you know, what he did down at Central Florida wasn't a fluke. Yes, he looks like fat Justin Timberlake, but he obviously can coach a little bit. He's getting a lot out of those guys at Tennessee, and I think Tennessee is going to be a fun team to watch. Speaking of recruiting classes, I'm going to throw out another contender. Jimbo Fisher is recruiting like crazy down at College Station. He's making head coach Nick Saban down at Alabama just grouchier every single day. Remember, a year ago, they did beat Alabama. They knocked Alabama off. Here's the catch for A&M. As usual, the highs are high, but the lows are really, really low. They'll beat Bama. Then they'll like lose to Ole Miss. A&M will be talked about as upper echelon, even though they've never been upper echelon of anything in the history of ever. So the expectations, again, will be unrealistic. They're never great, but they're going to be very, very good just because they have so much talent down there.
Yeah, I agree. I had them down as well. Like you said, just that recruiting class, which, you know, usually takes a couple, you know, couple years to kind of hit. But to me, it comes down to their offense. Their QB is the biggest question for me. If they can somehow figure out some decent QB play, I think that defense is good again. Defense would be good again. But like I said, if they can get consistent QB play, I like them a lot. I really do. And then my last contender would be Georgia. They lost a lot on defense, and that was a historic defense last season. I think they'll still be good on defense. Total of 15 players they lost to the draft. So it's hard to replace that. I mean, but they are an Alabama type school, plug and play. They've just recently got there. I feel like Alabama's been plug and play for a while, and this just felt like that class that finally got there and got over the hump. But I don't know if they're just full plug and play status yet. So I think they'll still be good. They did lose a lot, but they'll be in the mix, I think.
Yeah, they will. The problem with those plug and play kids is they just don't have the true game experience. Clutch time, you've got to produce. They just haven't done it yet. They'll do it by the end of the year. We'll be looking at them and going, oh, no, they're fine. But early on, if they get in a pressure game, they've never been there before. So I'm right there with you. I have Georgia as a contender. You just, I don't know if you can lose that many stud kids to the draft and not feel it. I think they're going to feel it. Quarterback Stetson Bennett is back. I think he's like 30, but he's back. He's going to be smart. He's going to make good decisions. But I don't know if they quite have enough. So that means we're going to be picking the same team again in the SEC, and that is the Alabama Crimson Tide. I know people were like clutching their pearls and gasping when Nick Saban said last year was a rebuilding year. It kind of was. Like, he had a bunch of young kids and they still went 13-2 and were like a few drives from winning the title again. So I don't know if he was wrong, but man, they were replacing a lot. Bryce Young, he's back. Once again, Saban has one of the best wide receiving cores. I think it's really underrated, the wide receiver that guy has pulled. It's incredible what he's doing down at Alabama.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, this is the true plug and play, and they've been there for a while. And one thing, too, I noticed, they did a lot of work in the transfer portal.
Yes, they did.
You really don't see a lot. You always think, you know, recruiting classes every year, but they've got three or four guys that they took, I think a couple receivers and a running back from the transfer portal. And so, like I said, that's even kind of puts them ahead, because the recruiting, you know, the recruitment's always been there. But now when you can pick and play a couple guys and just add in, I mean, I think they roll again.
Agreed. I really, really like Alabama. You know, Rob, last year for the first time, we got a group of five team, not named Notre Dame, because I don't know that they're really group of five, but we got a group of five team in Cincinnati to actually make the college football playoff. We've gone through the major conferences. We've gone through the Big Five. Is there a team out there that you like, maybe an independent, maybe a smaller conference? Is there a team out there or two that you like that maybe could make some noise this year nationally?
Yeah, there was only two that I came up with. Okay. And I'm going to give you the one I feel strongest about, and that's going to be Houston.
Yep, I've got Houston down as well. Man, they've got a really good quarterback, don't they?
They do. 12-2 last season. This year, they don't have to play Cincy or UCF. Clayton Tune, like you said, is back, completed 70% of his passes. All the top targets are back. Down the stretch, last year, they won 11 straight before they, you know, eventually ended up losing to Cincy. But then fast forward, you beat Auburn in the bowl game. So now you've got confidence, momentum. You just saw Cincy make the playoff last year. So I just think they get off to the high, a good start with that conference, and, you know, they might roll. And I think that will be the team that's sitting in that 7-8 spot that are, you know, talking about we should be in there. And, you know, strength of schedule will probably come back to haunt them. But yeah, I like Houston this year.
I do too. I really like what the Cougars are doing. Don't forget, if they can find a running back, because they lost a stud running back, Alton McCaskill went down in spring ball. If they can find someone else to take over that role, I think Houston is going to be right there. They're going to be very, very tough. Rob, I'm going to mention those Cincinnati Bearcats. I think Luke Fickell is just a really good coach. I think he is building a program, not just a good team, but you had 9 kids go in the NFL draft. There's no way you're replacing that much talent without at least a few bumps. I'll mention Cincinnati. I think they'll still be a pain because I think he's building a nice program. I just don't see any way they can repeat what they did a year ago.
Yeah, I agree. That's the other team that I had. Like you said, just a coach and a program. And again, like we mentioned, they're not plug and play level yet. So when you use that kind of talent, it's hard to replace. And they have Arkansas, I think, week one.
Right.
So just good right luck off the bat. Yeah, that could be trouble. But if they, you know, somehow get past Arkansas, again, I think they could reel off a couple wins throughout the season. And that, you know, could be in that again around that 8-9 mix, you know, coming up at the end of the year.
I've got two other teams. Is that your only contenders outside of the Big?
Yeah, those two.
I've got two others. I'm going to mention the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. They lost head coach Brian Kelly. Now you've got Marcus Freeman taking over. Like we talked about, I think that's asking a lot, but I think he's a very smart guy, and I think his kids absolutely love playing for him. They're going to be solid on both sides of the line. The problem, they need to find a quarterback that they can really trust, and that defensive backfield, those are basically going to be high school kids. They might get torched back at the back end. Here's the other problem. The Irish Open at Ohio State. Can they show well and compete, or do they just get boat race right out of the gate? Because if they do, it's going to be painful. And I'm going to throw one team out that I really, really like. They're independent, but I really like those BYU Cougars. They are physical. They've got some good talent at skill position. Quarterback Jaren Hall, he might be better this year than he was a year ago. Last year, BYU goes 10-3. They go to the Independence Bowl, and they had so many injuries to overcome. If they could just stay a little bit healthy, I think BYU might have a shot at being that pain in the neck team, that national kind of story that sneaks in. I really like the Cougars. Rob, Alabama quarterback Bryce Young beat out Michigan defensive end Aiden Hutchinson. He beat out Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett in his little baby hands and Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud for the Heisman Trophy last year. In fact, something to think about, with wide receiver Devontae Smith winning it the year before, the Tide have now won two Heismans in a row. Bryce Young is back again this year. Who are going to be your top contenders to win the Heisman Trophy this year?
Yeah, I got a couple. The first contender I'll give you, I mentioned him earlier, Dylan Gabriel.
Yep, at Oklahoma. He's mine too.
Yeah, like we mentioned before, that's a guy before the injury that can throw the ball. In that conference, like I said, I can see him getting off to, you know, hot start, putting up good numbers. So that's my first one.
I do too. I think he's going to put up video game numbers. You know, you look at Dylan Gabriel, he's a little undersized. That's just a kid who knows how to play quarterback. That's just a kid who knows how to play the game. I really like him at Oklahoma. And like you talked about, he may be able to put up huge numbers in that Big 12. I'm going to throw out another contender, and it's a guy we've already talked about a little bit. Remember, out at USC, Lincoln Riley made Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield Heisman winners. He now goes to USC, and he took quarterback Caleb Williams with him. We've already talked about Caleb Williams. They are going to light up the scoreboard in Southern California. He already beat out Spencer Rattler last year. Now he's just going to go out there and just be wide open, fire the ball all over the place. Hey, we know Lincoln Riley can build some offenses. They might not win as many games as maybe they should, but I think Caleb Williams is going to be in the hunt for the Heisman big time. I think he's going to be right there.
Yep, I agree. That's another one that I had too. Next one I'm going to give, I think I might have mentioned him earlier too. Give me Tyler Van Dyke, Miami quarterback. Again, this is another one, video game numbers in a conference. I think he can put up, like I said, good numbers. I think down the stretch with him, they were 5-2, I want to say, towards the end of the season with new coaching staff. Yeah, that's another one I like.
I like that pick. That could, and he could have a very, very good season this year. And of course, if you do anything down there, you're going to get some attention, especially being down in Florida, being on the East Coast. Rob, I'm going to throw out a contender here. It's not going to be popular, and it's only going to be for one reason. I am going to make Alabama quarterback Bryce Young a contender, and here's the reason. Because Heisman voters are idiots. They only vote for easy candidates. Last year, Bryce Young won it. So this year, they can't vote for him again, because that would mean they'd have to come up with a new angle. They'd have to come up with a new story. They don't want to come up with a new story. So they'll give Young a few votes, but let's vote somebody else in so I can write a new story, because they're lazy at heart. I know, because I write and I'm lazy. It's dumb, but so are they. So I'm going to say Bryce Young is a contender because Heisman voters are going to do the lazy thing and they don't want to give it to him twice.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And I want to cheat a little bit because I had my winner as Alabama, and I'll explain. For the same reasons you think, I think it's going to come down. I think Bryce Young obviously is going to have another good season, but I'm going to say the voters here, they're a little tired of it. There's going to be a lot of QBs that are putting up good numbers. So while they'll probably give it to Bryce Young, Will Anderson is going to be my actual pick.
Great
pick. Linebacker, Alabama. Last season, 17 and a half sacks, 34 tackles for loss. And again, I think in a year where Alabama is going to shine, Bryce Young is going to have a good season. And like I said, he'll end up getting it, but it really should be Will Anderson.
There is a chance Alabama could have the best offensive player in Bryce Young and the best defensive player in Anderson, both on the same team. That's a great pick. So you're going an Alabama winner for the Heisman.
Yeah, Alabama should be Will Anderson, but the probably voters are going to give it to
I think they're going to be even lazier than that, because I don't even think they'll have. I don't think they'll be brass enough to pick a defensive player. I'm going to go Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud. He's going to get the Heisman this year. Ohio State hasn't had a Heisman winner since Troy Smith in 2006. There's like a nice, easy story for them to write. Plus, I think Stroud is really, really good, and I think Ohio State is going to be really, really good as well. Okay, Rob, we've gone through each conference. We've picked our contenders. We have picked our champions. We have looked at some storylines. We've even picked our Heisman winners. Now, we never talk, like we said before, about, you know, prior to recording these, we don't get on and say, well, who's your winner? I'm going to do this. You're going to do this. we don't do this. But every year, we are disturbingly close in our Final Four playoff picks. Again, we haven't compared notes this year. So yeah, I feel like we're going to probably be really, really close again. Let's unveil our picks for the Final Four. And we know the top picks are not the controversial ones. It's the 3 and the 4. Rob, who is your number one seed in the college football playoff this year?
The number one seed has got to be Alabama.
Yes, Alabama Crimson Tide. I think they're going to be the best team in the country. Like we talked about, they may have the best player on both sides of the ball. Alabama is stacked. I have them at number one as well. Who do you have at number two?
Number two, Ohio State.
Wow, I've got Ohio State as well. I think the Big Ten is so, so good that they are going to be tested. They've got to face Notre Dame in the opener. They've got to go to Michigan State and Penn State. This will be a battle-tested team that should be ready for anything. They've seen it all. If they can, you know, maneuver their way through that schedule, Ohio State's going to be really, really good this year. Okay. It's going to start getting scary here. What do we have at number three?
This is where we're going to split. I was leaning Clemson, okay, but I'm not. My official pick is going to be Texas A&M.
Texas A&M gets into the college football playoff. Jimbo Fisher, finally, all that recruiting does it. He finally gets through, but you still have another SEC team in there. So we do get two SEC teams in there. Mm-hmm. Rob, we're not going to split that much. At the number three seed, I'm going to go with the SEC runner-up from the other side of the conference, and I'm going to take the Georgia Bulldogs, okay, who by then will have grown up a little bit. They're the defending champs. They're going to still be good again. I think they're going to be in the hunt for the playoff again. Now things are going to get ridiculous because I'll be honest, I was throwing, you know, a dart at the board trying to come up with a number four team. Who do you have getting in at the number four seed?
This was the same for me. Like I said, I had Clemson at three. I was going to put them at four, but I slid them again, and I am going to put Utah as my number four team.
Do we do it again? Utah at number four. We do it every year. We went 4 for 4 just about. I mean, all we did was pick a different SEC team. Yes, I think the Big 12, I think they beat each other up. I think the Big 10 will be really, really close. Maybe a Wisconsin, maybe an Iowa could sneak in there. I think the Pac-12 bounces back with a bid, and that bid goes to the Utah Utes. If they can beat Florida in that opener, that gets them that strength of schedule that they're going to need. I have Utah getting the number four seed as well. All right, Rob, how's this going to go? Game number one would feature Alabama versus Utah. Who's getting that win?
Bama rolls them. Not even close.
Bama rolls them. I've got the same thing. I'll give Utah at least a fighting chance. It'll kind of be like the Bama Cincinnati game last year. By 20. You scored 20. I guess you can feel good about yourself, whatever. Bama rolls on. Game number two. You've got Ohio State versus Texas A&M. I've got Ohio State versus Georgia. Who do you have advancing?
Ohio State.
Ohio State advances. I think it could be an entertaining game either way there, whether it was A&M or Georgia. I think that's entertaining. But Rob, we have Alabama versus Ohio State in our final. A repeat, I might add, of that 2020 game when Alabama played Ohio State there. Alabama was actually favored by 10. They rolled. Devontae Smith won the Heisman. Who do you have winning your national championship game?
I think it would be a good game, but I got to give the edge to Bama. I just think that defense, even though Ohio State has tried to address it, you know, will probably be better this year. I think at the end of the day, that defense gets them over the top. So I got Bama taking it all.
Rob, we don't compare notes. At some point, I suppose that we should, because we always do this. I've got Bama winning it all, beating Ohio State in the final. We basically had every single pick going right down the whole line, just the same. We do this every single year, but I'll say this. We aren't that far off usually. Like our pick don't – every once in a while, we'll have a pick just crash and burn right off the bat or something like that. But for the most part, our picks are at least in the hunt. They're at least in the ballpark. Once again, Rob, we go down the list and we have very, very similar outlooks on how this college football season is going to go. But for me, I'm just so excited to get college football back. We've had, you know, obviously the weird COVID year. Last year, a little bit past that, but a couple little, you know, weird COVID hiccups. I'm just looking forward to a full year. Let's have these games. Let's let these kids play. Let them go out and, you know, kind of dictate their future on the field instead of the nonsense in boardrooms and everything else. I am just excited for this league and this season to get going again.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like I said, I think it's going to be a good season. And like we mentioned, with so many of the conferences, like it's not a lot of clear-cut winners. I mean, I could see, you know, like we talked about the Big 12, you know, going in any kind of way. ACC, you know, 3-4 teams all in the mix. So yeah, I'm just, you know, can't wait to watch.
Well, and you know, we even talked about the SEC and the Big 10. There are some really, really good teams that could trip somebody up. Maybe we could actually see some surprises. You know, last year, nobody had Cincinnati coming out. We talked about Cincinnati. Did we really think they could break through? I don't know. That was pretty amazing what they did. Maybe we'll get another story like that where we get a team that we just didn't expect to come through. Rob, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news is you're going to be back again next week. The bad news is you've got more heavy lifting to do, because next week we are going to be rolling out our NFL previews, and that's going to be so much we might have to get that, you know, in like 2 weeks, because there's just a lot of ground to cover. But we are going to be having Rob back, going to be talking NFL, going to be looking at some big storylines, going to be looking at every division. Rob is just an absolute stud, comes in and does this for us every year and brings insight and brings facts that nobody else is bringing. This guy is, you know, he's the president of the I-Team for a very, very important reason. He finds things that no one else finds. Rob, I want to say thank you so much for stopping and do the college preview, and can't wait to do this again next week and maybe the week after, and we just talk a bunch of NFL because the season is already here.
Yes, looking forward to it. Football is back.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to be getting you ready for the NFL season as well. I'm going to be joined by a few friends of the podcast where we are going to be breaking down the NFL, what to expect. We're going to be looking at every single team. We are going to be making our picks for who is going to be making the playoffs and who is going to be going to Super Bowl 57. So you do not want to miss the Daily Dose next week. Be sure that you tune in and be sure that you tell a friend to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to Big Rob for all that you contribute to the Daily Dose. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel. Thank you for checking out all the new things going up over at DailyDoseSports.com every week. But more than anything else, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?